back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. We have a fantastic guest, Daniel Holdings. His website, danielholdings.com. You can get his books, a Hagman & Hagman special from Daniel Holdings for his books. There's three books there. You can go to danielholdings.com, order the books, make sure you use the coupon code SIRIUS. Now, it's only going to work if you order the books through Mr. Holdings' website, so make sure you do that if you want to get the 15% discount that he has so generously offered. In the first hour, we started getting into a very interesting line of conversation, and I want to continue right where we left off. We're talking about the days of Noah versus today, the behaviors of the people then versus the similarities we see today. We're talking about a number of things pertaining to the age that we're in. As Jesus said, you know, this will be the end of the age when you see all these things taking place. And we see so much taking place. It's like the world continues to move at breakneck pace, and it's increasing in its intensity. People are waking up out of the fog of, you know, being caught in that mainstream media, cable TV world. And as they see their pocketbooks continue to be hurt from, you know, the government actions, the interference and overreaching through regulations into each and every person's life who owns a business, just the ridiculous. I mean, we're at a point now where if our founding fathers were around, and I've heard this said a lot, that, you know, it would be a revolution. But we seem to be stuck as slaves in this system, and this system is a precursor to the New World Order satanic antichrist system to usher in the return of our Savior.
Yeah.
So, that's about it.
Well, you know, one last thing on the days of Noah before we move to current events, because I think it's important that we link current events to the days of Noah so that we understand them. So that gives us a shadow by which to look at the sundial by. Most people don't know, or maybe they knew and they don't recall, that Nimrod was a contemporary of Noah. Noah was Nimrod's uncle, I think. So therefore, they were alive at the same time. And the interesting thing that happened at the Tower of Babel was this. If I had to put one word on it, I would say hubris. The hubris of mankind was so demonstrated that Elohim, God, had to come down and stop them, because he said that mankind could do anything that they put their mind to if they didn't stop it. And thereby it would ruin his creation, so therefore he stopped them. And he scattered them and you know, diverse language. And then they didn't learn from that, and, you know, he said the flood. So we are seeing a lot of similarities to these days that we live in now. But the thing that we need to understand is no time has there ever been in man's history that we have the ability to destroy ourselves the way we can now. We are seeing unprecedented moves in technology and militarily that bode very, darkly for mankind. And that's kind of where I wanted to take us during this hour, because we just got done talking about all the things that are similar to the days of Noah, as Jesus talked about. In Matthew 24. So let's talk about some pragmatic things. We spent a lot of the first two segments being spiritual. So let's be pragmatic. Let's talk about some of those political things that are going on today.
Let's do it.
And they actually lead right back to, yes, my books. And it's not one long commercial for my books, but it may be one of the last times that you hear me talk about this. It's that serious. Now, is it as darkness falls or between the veil? One of the two. I said that Turkey, who is a NATO member, the only Muslim member of NATO would pull out of NATO, and it would be a precursor to World War III. And Joe, because you and your dad pay close attention to the news, what are we seeing today with regard to Turkey?
We're seeing a lot happening with Turkey, with NATO. We see the, as we mentioned in the first hour, the intense rhetoric between the U.S. and Russia from threat, all-out World War III, you know, from the Syrian conflict that has been going on to, you know, Biden threatening cyber attacks against Russia, which in itself is an act of war. And Turkey is involved, as it is the old Ottoman Empire and is a part of Bible prophecy, of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what we're seeing is Turkey is aligning itself with Russia, signing energy and oil deals with the company, and they are abandoning NATO. And some say, well, you know, the NATO is abandoning Turkey. And I think Daniel dropped off, so we'll get him right back. But there is a lot going on when it comes to this nation and the role it plays in this World War III scenario, showdown versus NATO and the powers of Russia and China, Iran, Syria, and some will lump in there North Korea, even though it's a very rogue nation. It does play some role in the what we see happening today. Do we have Daniel back? Okay, not yet. And that might be him calling our studio, but I know Todd is working to get him back, and we'll get him back real soon. It's interesting sound effects. Yeah, that's coming through. Eric the Tech just gave me a funny look and asked if that was coming through. No, bear with us a second, folks. We'll get Daniel back in just a moment. But yeah, there is a lot going on between NATO, Turkey, and other Middle Eastern nations around this conflict. And we've seen the destabilization of Iraq. We've seen the destabilization of Afghanistan, of Egypt, Libya, and many more countries in the Arab Spring. And you know, Turkey has been involved in this. We have Saudi Arabia and Qatar funding ISIS through, you know, the United States funding ISIS through Saudi Arabia and Qatar. But the question is asked, is Turkey abandoning NATO or is NATO abandoning Turkey? And there's
a
coup attempt.
I would submit that NATO doesn't really want to abandon Turkey because the fact that they're the only Muslim country in NATO, it was a trump card for them. It still is to some extent. It gives them an anchor in the Muslim world. However, as you so clearly pointed out, I mean, they are making some serious moves away from NATO. And in my book, I wrote that was a precursor to war. When they left NATO, interestingly enough, to side with Syria. That's when I wrote my book, and that was years ago. It was 3, 4, or 5 years ago that it came out. So when you see Turkey... Folks, you need to hear me. When you see Turkey leave NATO and side with Syria, i.e. Russia, who's defending Syria, then you know that it's on. This is why I'm talking to you now. This is how serious it is. This is why I wanted to talk to you tonight. You know, I've been on your show before, Joe, and we talked about all kinds of interesting stuff. Right? Never before have I talked to you about the urgency of the things that are going on right now. This is a precursor to war. When you see this, know that war is near. The other thing that we need to talk about is of course, Russia making the moves that they're making. That, you know, they did this audacious flyover from, I think it was, they flew over Iceland. They flew on the skirts of the, the Scandinavian countries down through... I think even the English Channel before they were intercepted by the RAF, Royal Air Force. But it was fast. These were fast bombers that were doing it. And it was a trial run for what's going on. We see, as far as preparation for nuclear war goes, just last week, they sent, now, Joe, this is mind-boggling, 40 million of their Moscowite citizens to nuclear bunkers last week, just to make sure they knew where they were and how to get there and see where.
Who does the training?
That's theirs.
Yeah, that's a good question, and many have speculated as to the reasons behind it. And one thing that I found is that they do in Russia, this was some kind of annual test, and I'm not sure, this probably overextended what they normally do in these type of tests and preparations, but this was apparently something that's happened before. But, you know, on top of that, even if we just look at this as some kind of drill, where they, you know, have some type of preparation or readiness for preparation for nuclear war, the timing was very suspect. And then on top of that, you have these different leaders in Russia, you know, former president, in military generals inside of the Kremlin who have come right out and stated, you know, that they are preparing for nuclear war. You have different deployments of Russian bombers and submarines. You know, they are definitely on alert, on edge, if you will.
Let me just cut to the chase, okay? Because we're running out of time in the discussion. Again, I want to cover other ground. There was an article that came out today that I think says it all. It was out of Almaz pipeline, and a Russian insider close to Vladimir Putin said that a war between Russia and the United States could and most likely will break out before the United States elections. Now, why am I telling you this? To scare you? No. And again, I hate to keep beating the source, but audience, you have to hear me. This is why you have to get those books. In my books, and on the air, because I do radio as well, my own shows, I have stated over and over and over again that Barack Hussein Obama is the last president of the United States. That is what I've said publicly, both in my fiction books and publicly on the air. And I stick to that, Joe. Whatever they have to do to stop this election, they will do. Or even if there is an election and Trump or Hillary, you know, win, it doesn't matter. We are about to see a change to the New World Order. And that change does not include the United States. I mean, there will be a shadow of this country left. But it will only be a shadow. The government that you and I know, it won't be the government then. Do I sound like a nut? If you think so, just look at the moves that have been made by this administration to usurp the Constitution of the United States. If, in fact, they could kill a sitting Chief Supreme Court Justice without an autopsy, they can do whatever they want to do because the Absolutely. Masses will not do anything about it.
Yeah,
we are looking at a change in the fundamental foundation of this country. And if you think for one second, audience, that this election is going to make a difference to their agenda, and you're thinking wrong, because they will do whatever they have to do to move their agenda forward. They have the seat of power right now. And you can tell me, well, Daniel, we need to pray. God can do what he... Of course, God can do whatever he wants to do. But you know what? Now, this is hard truth, Joe. People don't like me talking like this. When you look at the
point,
world...
If I can add, you know, no matter who wins the election, and let's just for the sake of argument say Donald Trump is real, what he says he plans on doing if he were to become president, and he has a vision to better restore America on American values. You know, we've seen how many presidents have been assassinated? And that's, you know, outright assassinations, not including mysterious deaths that can be attributed in different ways. We know that the Clinton criminal machine and all their cronies work for this, you know, satanic elite. And you're right, they will stop at nothing. And we always seem to look for one person, whether it's a president or whatever, to be our political savior, to put everything, you know, to make everything right. And that will never happen. So, I mean, as you said, their agenda has been in the works for centuries, if not millennia, from the Tower of Babel. And they're going to continue to do so and push that agenda no matter what gets in their way.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, what I started to say is that, you know, we hear this, these things and we wring our hands and we become fearful, right? But Jesus himself said that these things must happen. He outlined in Matthew 24 what life would be like before his coming. And we just spent the first hour talking about the days of Noah. How does society look like? How does the world look like the days of Noah? And, you know, we sit in America because I'm a veteran. You know, I love this country. And we don't want to let loose of the things that are familiar to us. But I am telling you that when Jesus said these things must happen, he has a timetable. And we can pray all we want to. Now, careful that you're not kicking against the goats. Because what if, in fact, this is what he envisioned when he said that? What if he knew these things were going to happen, and that's why he said that? And as painful as it sounds for us that live in America, what if America is the only thing that stands between the elite, the powers that be, and the New World Order, where you will need a mark to buy and sell? I think that is exactly the case. So, I don't think for a second that this facade of a race. I was sitting somewhere the other day, and somebody was saying, oh, Hillary Clinton's up by, you know, the news said that Hillary Clinton's up by something like 8 points or something, 12 points. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop on their conversation. I turned around and I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean eavesdrop. I said, but there is no way. Hillary Clinton's not even showing up to events. She's not even out in public. How could she be up 12 points? It's ridiculous. So whatever they have to do, however they have to lie, cheat, and steal, they're going to get their agenda moved forward. But I don't even think there's going to be an election. That's just me. I think that either war or financial collapse will happen before that. And the two go hand in hand, Joe. When you see war, you see financial collapse, because war is designed to cover up financial issues. And if you don't believe that there are things simmering, actually boiling on the front burners as far as the financial industry goes, remember, I was a business guy for a long time in the financial world, right? So this is the kind of things I paid attention to. Deutsche Bank has $48 trillion of derivative debt that wraps the world. $48 trillion, right? And everybody's saying, well, you know, the German government, which Deutsche is under because the German bank, will come in and save them, just like the United States saved, you know, the United States from the 2008 debacle. Here's the problem. Deutsche's bank derivative debt of $48 trillion outweighs their measly GDP of $7 trillion. So there's no way that Germany can even fix this. They can't fix it. Right? You can only kick that can down the road so long, and they've kicked it as far as they can kick it.
Yep.
Excuse me. This contagion will wrap the world. You will see, and again, audience, I'm just telling you, this is why you need to get those books. I wrote these things in those books. This is what the war gave me years ago. You will see the euro collapse. The euro collapsing within short order will cause problems in the United States. You will see the dollar collapse. You will see the yen collapse in Japan. You will see China's currency collapse. Yes, even though they have gold, you're going to see China's currency collapse because they have a whole different problem going on there. Actually, it's more of the same. It's greed and stuff, but they're going to collapse as well. And Russia's not doing so well. In fact, I even read just the other day that Saudi Arabia's economy is hurting really bad. And they're worried about the kingdom, the banks.
I saw that too, yeah.
And I was, that caught me unawares. I had no idea. So you're about to see the world's financial system, which is all interconnected, collapse. So what will you see first, the collapse or war? I think you probably see both. One goes with the other.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I guess, it, you know, we've had economists on in the last few weeks talk about, well, we'll say Trump does win the presidency by some miracle of, you know, with all the election rigging and you know, Soros-owned voting machines. Let's say he gets in. There have been talks that they will crash the stock market and the U.S. economy in order to, you know, to destroy his presidency. And then there's talk that if Hillary Clinton wins the election, that means imminent war with Russia.
Well,
so they're both on the table. I mean, and they've been on the table regardless of who gets into office. And, you know, you have to ask the question, kind of like the people who have come out and accused Trump of sexual misconduct that have known him, you know, for 30 years and worked with him on, you know, never said a word until conveniently, you know, a few weeks before the election. Then they all decide to come out, and then you find out that there's holes in their stories, and some of them work for the Clinton Foundation and they're on the payroll. We learn that they come out and intentionally tried to create violence in these Trump campaigns. And I don't want to, you know, continue to go off on that here, but
it's all politics, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
Look, if I had a choice, I'd probably pick Trump, right? If I had a choice, but I think, okay, look, I'll make everybody mad. That's what I'm here for. A little dose of truth will make you mad. You know, there are plenty of pictures where Trump and the Clintons were elbowing each other. Trump was a Democrat.
Oh, yeah. He was at their wedding.
He was a Democrat not too long ago. They're, you know, all the same people. They're cut from the same cloth. Now, it's true that Trump is saying some things that I like, right? Actually, a lot of things I like. But the fact is, he made his money in real estate and casinos. Okay, is this a man of high moral standing? Don't get me wrong. I think he's shrewd and he's smart, right? I think he knows what. I'm a business guy. I can appreciate his business sense, right? I would hope that business sense would bring the country back around, right? But the fact is, as a person, he's no different than the rest of them. I hate to say that. So okay, you got Clinton, who's a mafioso, right? And all the, she's a Clintonista. All the baggage that she has, the fact that, and I read,
you're
just
giving a bad name to the mafia, you know, Dan.
I just read the something that said that she actually, according to the somebody in justice, said that you know, she would be disqualified for federal service, so she couldn't even run for the presidency, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not stopping them. Let's not get the truth. Let the truth get away. The facts get away of.
And if I can interject this point, one thing that is so abundantly clear from the Podesta email leaks and everything that is inside those is that you see all them talking constantly about how they're going to raise money and the different donors and speeches they're going to give and how they're going to spin different scandals. Not once in any of those emails do you see them talking about how they're going to help the American people, how they plan to turn the economy around, how they plan to, you know, make better international relationships with these other countries. I mean, there is nothing in those emails that indicate in any way whatsoever they want to do anything or even one thing that will benefit America and its citizens in a positive way. And I think that is one of the more striking things that is not talked about when it comes to the email leaks.
Well, but again, we were talking about, you know, that the fact that they're cut from the same cloth. Donald Trump has not come out and said that he wants to do away with the NSA or their spy. I saw every day that half of all people are in the facial recognition software already. He doesn't want to do away with any of that. He wants to keep all that, and he wants to build the wall. In my, you know, in my research, what I find over history is that walls keep people in. They don't keep people out. You remember something called the Berlin Wall? Well, you're a little young, but something called the Berlin Wall? That kept people in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And these are not good things, right? He wants all that technology for security's sake. He's come out and said that. Okay, so you're going to get there faster, you're going to get there slower. Right, but I think it's the system is compromised, Joe. It's hard for me. And don't get me wrong, I was a lifelong Republican. Right, I was a business guy. I mean, I was a Republican. I ran for a Republican office. Right, so it's not like I'm a libertarian that doesn't want to talk. No, I'm telling you, I've had a history. And the point is that when I look at what's going on compared to the Bible, that's what we're talking about. Right? So we're talking about today's events compared to the Bible, as in the days of Noah. They are cut from the same cloth. And what we are going to see with either one of them, either faster or slower, we are going to see that end time system.
Yeah, either way. You're right. And Daniel, we're up against our last break in this interview. When we come back, we will make sure that we hit on any key points that we did not since you've been on, and we will close it out strong. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report with Daniel Holdings as our guest. His website, danielholdings.com. Get the package, his three-book special, with a 15% discount using the coupon code Sirius. You have to do this through his website, danielholdings.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're in our last segment with author Daniel Holdings, a good friend of the show, been on several times in the past, on tonight to talk about his books, as he has written a series of fiction books, but they're not really fiction. As the Lord has led him to write them, they are written about the days we live in and about the times ahead. And much of a lot of the things he has said in his books, we have seen come to pass. And then we're talking about more of what is written in his books that we are watching unfold right now. Daniel, we got this last segment. I'm going to turn it over to you, and I want you to make sure you hit the points you want to hit and get to where you want to go in this interview tonight. And I'll be sitting here ready to jump in anytime.
Well, thanks, Joe, and it's good to be with you, brother. I talk about these things, and you have to understand how I think, or I feel, I should say, when I begin to talk about them. Because on one hand, you know, the Bible says that the prophets of old long to see these days, because they wanted to know that they were talking, saying the things that God wanted them to say. But the things that they were saying were true. So when I see some of these things come to pass, and they happen out of my books, I said earlier that I'm along with, you know, with the rest of the audience on this ride and seeing these things come true. So I feel a sense of accomplishment in that, yes, I heard, and yes, I'm doing what he told me to do. But at the same time, Joe, my heart is so heavy because I know what's coming. I've seen it. I've literally seen it. I've seen dreams and visions. I've seen it. And I put these things in these books so that in a story form that so that people could digest them. And that's why, audience, if you have a family member or a friend or a coworker that's kind of on the fence, and they kind of, you know, believe the Bible, but they're not really sure, and they're kind of living for the world, or you know, they don't really get all the things that you're talking about. You need to get them these books. That's why. Because they will read them. They will be sucked into the story. And I'm told that they're good. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm a great writer. No, that's not what I, you know, that's not me. But The point is that I've been told that it's a good read. It's an exciting read. It'll keep your attention, and along the way, they're going to learn something. The very same things that you audience believe, because you listen to this show. And I know that my friends, Doug and Joe Hagman, they talk about these very same things. So this is a great way to reach out, you know, to people that you work with, to family members or friends, in order to get them on board with truth, because that's what those books are about. They're about truth. That's what that serious discount is all about. Go in there, type in serious, S-E-R-I-O-U-S. When you check out, it'll give you a 15% discount. And if you wanted to give away the package as gifts, then for every two you buy, I will give you a free one. You know, when you pay for them at full price. So please, do that. Do that for your friends. Do that for your family, because time is really short. You know, Joe, with this last portion, I wanted to talk about how life is about to change. See, we need to understand this. You have a lot of people that come on here, our friend Steve Boyle, as an example, that talk about preparation, to do those things to prepare, right, to physically prepare. And all that's great advice, okay? But when I say that you will not recognize the world in a very short time, I am dead serious. Everything that you thought you knew is about to change. The way you, and you all talked about this a lot, the way you get your groceries, if you can go to Kroger or Walmart to get your groceries, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. So yes, you need a store of food and water to prepare for that. But what are you going to do when you see people hurting? What are you going to do when you see people dying? What are you going to do when you see mushroom clouds? What are you going to do? How are you going to live during that time? You see, that's really what I want to get to right now. I've laid out a bunch of stuff out of my books for you tonight. But the point is, how do we live during a time like that? More importantly, how do we be effective during a time like that? Because we are called, Joe, to be salt and light to a dying world. And I spent some time earlier talking about what it takes to prepare for that time, spiritually, emotionally. You know, the word says that he who loves his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Paul said to be absent in body is present with the Lord. That doesn't mean I'm going to lay down. No. I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to protect my belongings. I'm going to protect myself. But in the end, death doesn't win. And if we are so afraid of losing our lives or losing our stuff, you are going to be ineffective in dealing with the life, the physical life that we have after things change. Because you're not going to want to interact with people. You're not going to want to share the gospel with people when they need it the most. You're not going to want to do those things because you're so concerned about your own stuff, your own lives, right? But I would remind you that in the wilderness, right, the Hebrews trusted the Lord for their manna. And it was only given to them on every morning. They only received it once a day. They couldn't save it overnight except on the Sabbath. He provided every day. I'm not saying don't prepare. What I am saying is that you need to make sure your heart is right. If you think that you can survive through what's coming on your own, by yourself, without the help of the Lord, then you're wrong. I hate to tell you, you're wrong. If you think that you can survive without the help of others, then you're wrong. You will need to be part of a community, part of people. I'm not saying the cities. You need to get out of the city. You need to get away from. You have to have an escape plan. You've got to have a go bag. All that stuff is good advice. You don't want to be there when the proverbial doo-doo hits the fan. What I'm talking about is being able to live after all of it falls apart. Because we were right there, folks. You need to understand. When war breaks out and we have people invading this country, and we will. I've seen it. We will. You've had people on the show, Joe, that talked about other countries invading us. Then you're going to need other people to stand with. When the disasters come, you're going to need other people to help. In that time, we can be salt and light, but your heart has to be right, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of pain. We are all about to lose something. I hate to tell you, you're not getting out of this scot-free. Even those people that have the money to, you know, buy the bunkers with all the food that they can have, they're not getting out scot-free. What is coming is a change of amazing proportions. And you can't be ready for it if you're not ready, if you're not right with the Lord.
That's right. All the physical preparations, you could have 10 years worth of storable food, a bunker, a lifetime supply of water and first aid supplies and any and everything you can think of, guns, ammunition, drones, whatever. It means nothing without the spiritual preparation. Because what good will you be to God's kingdom in that time of tribulation when the Christians are being persecuted all across the world and killed for their beliefs? And what will it be worth for you to stay alive in seclusion without the Lord? You're just delaying the inevitable even more.
We are called to be salt and light. I'm not saying don't do those things. What I'm telling you to do is be salt and light. Be salt and light in spite of what's coming. So, what can we expect? What's coming? I think that we will see war within the next couple of months. I think that the inevitable financial collapse will begin. I don't know how long it will take. It's been kind of a slow motion collapse, because it's been ongoing. Despite what the stock market is saying, things are not right. That's fake money. It's money pumped into the stock market by the Fed. So I think we're going to see that. I think you're going to see this violence that you mentioned earlier, this love waxing cold that we were talking about.
If I can ask you one question, you mentioned the violence. We talked about the potential for world war and economic collapse directly related to this election. If I could get your take on this, with this divide in the country for the two candidates in this election, do you think there will be, let's say Trump wins, do you think there would be riots from Democrats and other people? And vice versa, if Hillary Clinton wins, do you think we will see civil unrest from Trump supporters? Because a lot of people are speculating that very well could be the case, because the how emotionally invested people are in this election.
I need to be very careful on how I answer this. And audience, hear me. Okay, I'm not calling for this. And the Hagman Report is not calling for this. But I will tell you this, Joe. There will be civil war. You will see brother against brother. There's civil war coming. And if it's whether it be the election starting it or other issues, you will see the United States fragmented. And you will see civil war. So, is it the election that starts that? It could be. I mean, they've been fomenting civil unrest, and you and I both know that it's Soros funding Black Lives Matter, as other information has come out, fomenting civil unrest. But there have been prophets that it saw, and I think it was what is his name, Dimitri Dugin, that saw, or it could have been John Paul Jackson, civil unrest starting in the center of the country, then spreading out to the coast, and then all over the United States. We saw the first unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, which is the center of the country. Went to Oakland, and then went to someplace out on the East Coast. And we have seen it down in Dallas now and other parts of the country, and you're going to see that just catch fire. So you're going to see an increase in civil unrest. This is why I say when things really get bad, you don't want to be in those cities. They're going to be ugly. But along with that, you're going to see war within the United States, civil war within the United States, and I have seen that. You're going to see invaders. You're going to see, and I all these things I've written in my books, audience. That's why you have to get them. If you want to know what's going to go on, you got to read those books. Honestly, you just got it. The other thing that you're going to see is you're going to see other countries invading this country, and people aren't even going to know how to deal with them because Americans are conditioned, right? They don't realize that if you see Russian troops on American soil in Montana, it's a bad thing. Okay, that's not normal. They're not here to be your friend. This is what you're going to see. You're going to see Islamic, it won't be terrorism, then it'll just be violence here in the United States.
Yeah,
so you're going to see people dying.
I fear that will be the case, that there will be turmoil, regardless of who wins from, you know, backlash from the people.
Yeah. This is the world that we are staring down the barrel at. And this is, and again, if what I think is about to happen, this is not going to take forever to start. This is not way in the future. I think we are seeing the very beginnings of that now. And again, I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you what I see in the news. All the things that I saw leading up to these things, I see now in the news. So that being the case, the way that you conduct your daily business, you think you can go to work tomorrow and do your 9-to-5 job on a day like during this time, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Don't be any work to do that. Yeah, I just read something in the news today that said both the Fed and the Bank of Scotland said that they would be okay with inflation. They want inflation to start running so that they could cause growth. Well, we'll figure. They think inflation is going to cause growth, but your currency is going to be worth less. Not totally worth less, maybe eventually, but going to be worth less and less. You're not going to be able to get what you need for your family. This is where true preparation comes in.
And we've seen this already. Since the Federal Reserve's inception in 1913, the U.S. dollar has lost 98% of its value up till today. Mm-hmm. And
it's also one of the longest running fiat currencies in history, right? They can't keep going the way it is, and they know that. That's why they're about to flip the differences. But before they flip to their different system, they got to kill this system. Remember what the mantra of the New World Order is, right? Order out of chaos. They have to create mm-hmm. that chaos. Everything we just talked about is that chaos. What is about to happen is, I don't know how else to put it, it's ugly. But you can't have peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of that ugliness. But you got to do that now on this side. Okay. You know, when I love this. People always say to me, well, you know, when it gets bad, God will take care of me. I'll just trust him to take care of me. My answer to them is always this, Joe. Do you trust him now to take care of you? Well, yeah, I do. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You go out and you make your money and you buy the car you want. You live where you want. You do what you want, and yet you say God takes care of you.
Have you buy groceries, you buy health insurance. Yeah.
That's right. Have you asked him lately? Should you be at that job? Right? Should you live in where you're living? Right? Should you be with the person that you're with? Right? Have you asked him? Have you laid down your life and said, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do at the cost of my own wishes? We don't live like that. And that's the life that you're going to have to live when all this stuff goes wrong. So if you say that God will take care of me then, My answer is, does he take care of you now like that? Is that how you live? Buddy, you know, I have degrees. I told you I was in the financial game for a long time. I could do all kinds of stuff, right? I don't do those things now. Because I did just what I told you. Right? I laid down my life and I said, Lord, I want what you want. I write books. Right? I have a little part-time job. Right? I could choose to have lots of money. Right? I choose not to because I choose Jesus. So are you choosing Jesus or are you choosing stuff? You got to get over the stuff, folks, because the stuff's going by the wayside really, really fast. Your flat-screen TV, when war breaks out, it's not going to matter a hill of beans, especially if you don't have any power. But what do we gravitate to? We gravitate to all that stuff. Now is the time to prepare your hearts for what's coming. And yes, physical preparation, do that. I'm not telling you not to do that. Buy some gold and silver. You need to do those things. But I'm telling you, you better prepare your hearts because it's going to get ugly. If you want to know how ugly and you want to know when, I'm sorry, I sound like a commercial, I don't mean to, buy the book because the timeline is in there. So here's the problem, Joe. I keep telling people this. They don't have a lot of time, right? They got to buy those books and start reading so they understand. I don't even understand the stuff that's coming true out of those books. I'm flabbergasted every time I see something. So you need to do it now. You need to do it now. And that's just not a pitch. I wish I could give them to you. I can't. I got to pay for them. But now's the time to do it. DanielHoldings.com and put in the Sirius coupon code and you get a 15% discount. If you buy two packages, I'll give you another at full price. I'll give you another package for free. So you can give it to your friends. But do it quickly, folks. Don't be messing around. Honestly, please hear me. There's not a lot of time left. There's not.
That's right.
Joe, you know, I so much appreciate you and your dad. You guys are on the front lines of all this stuff. I mean, I know you guys take abuse, you take a beating on a regular basis. I so much appreciate you and your dad for all the stuff that you guys do. You guys are really a megaphone, a loudspeaker for the truth, really. And I so much appreciate you guys.
Well, we appreciate you. I want to thank you for that. And we appreciate the work you do, too. And, you know, one thing that you talked about that I think is important for the audience to understand and make a distinction, you did not write these books for the sole purpose of writing books. And, you know, I've been, over the last 3-4 years, I've been contemplating writing a book myself. But just like what you said, the Lord has not said, you know, Joe, this is my plan. If you're going to write a book, this is what it's going to be about. This is, you know, what I want the content to be. And until that time, I see no purpose in writing a book. It's almost, I don't want to compare it to fasting, but we're not supposed to just fast for the sake of fasting. We're supposed to fast and honor the Lord while we do it, and do it for not only our own purposes, but to show the Lord that we, that we do love Him, that we want to grow further with Him and strengthen our relationship. And beyond that, there are, you know, other reasons people fast that are, you know, important. Fasting for fasting and praying, fasting for making sure your prayer is heard for an important issue, for people who are going through hard times. For the sake of fasting.
It's a really good point. Two points you bring up. And folks, you know, I talk about getting close with the Lord and getting on your face and repenting. I'm going to tell you now, you need to fast. You need to fast for the right reasons. Right? Either fasting is a way of setting yourself aside and giving up those things like eating. that actually, I don't know why it works, but it does work. But Joe's right. You have to do it with the right reasons. If you want to get close to the Lord, you need to fast. You need to fast now. Right? You need to stop messing around. Don't put it off. You're going to do it. But do it for the right reasons, with the right heart. With regard to writing, It is brutal, buddy. I mean, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Honestly, it took. Well, let me qualify that. When I my first book, I wrote my first. Most people don't know this. I wrote my first book in about 2.5 weeks. It was 150,000 words in 2.5 weeks. It took me another, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, because I'd never written before, to make it readable, to make it right, right? But all the basic storyline, the Lord just did a download on me. And I didn't know. I had people calling me and asking me if I want to do, you know, physics experiments with them. They thought I was a physicist, because that book deals a lot with the Large Hadron Collider and CERN and stuff like that. And I didn't know anything. I just wrote what the Father had me write. And I had people write it. And so, but it was the Lord. It was, guys, it was at a point where I came to the end of myself, and that's where that book came out of. I just walked away from everything, and that's where that book came out of. And then the next book was more of the same. It took a little longer to write that book, but it was the Lord just showing me things, and my mind just exploding with all this stuff that was going on, and I had to write it down. I remember talking to the Lord during that process. I said, God, they'd never believe me. He'd say, write it down. Write it down. So that's how those books came about. And it was an amazing time. I have people that want me to write another one, write a fourth one and a fifth one. And I can't. I won't until the Lord directs me. And he isn't directed yet. There are lots of things that I want to say, but I haven't been given permission to say them. So I'll just, you know, when it comes to my writing, I'm keeping it to myself for now. I have the next book, you know, started in a good ways, in, but I can't release them both time. There may never be time, Joe, honestly. And maybe that's part of the reason I'm dragging my feet, because I think time is so short. How we publish now, how we transact business, it's changing. And that's all I have to say, is that things are changing. You need to be ready for the change that's coming, because it's going to be huge.
You're absolutely right, Daniel. You have taken us to the end of our two-hour interview. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight to share the insights that the Lord has shown you and led you to further look into and to write about, and for sharing those things that, you know, in your books that have come true. Even though your book is a fiction per se, it still is very important, deals with all the important current events through the lens of Bible prophecy. And as we talked about in the last segment, there are things that are unfolding right now, which Daniel wrote about in his book a few years ago, that looks like they're going to also unfold just the way that he talked about. And it's very important, when men are hearing from the Lord, their Savior, and are sharing that information with those of us out there, that we pay attention, because the Lord works through his servants, through his body, and we need to stick together, and we need to be of one mind under the Lord. Daniel, thank you so much for coming on. We'll continue to promote that special. Again, DanielHoldings.com. Go to his website. 50% discount with the code Sirius. You have a great night, Daniel, and I look forward to having you on again.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for the time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Up next, Mr. Stan Deo from StanDeo.com. After a week he had off, he's coming back right after this.